I want to share a message I've titled, Christ's Cure for Troubled Hearts. How many of you have ever had a troubled heart? So many of us, amen? Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, amen? So even though your heart be troubled, Jesus is the answer and the cure for troubled hearts. John 14, we're going to read verses 1 down to verse 6. Follow with me in your Bible. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I love the King James there. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. In John chapter 14, Jesus is in an upper room with his disciples, and it's just hours literally before he's going to go to the cross and he's going to be crucified for the sins of the world. And Jesus had told his disciples, I'm going to go back to heaven. One of you is going to betray me. And so their hearts were troubled and their hearts were filled with fear. And he actually had turned to Peter, and Peter, he said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows in the morning. So there was a lot of things that were troubling their hearts. I looked it up and I found out that 40 million adults in the United States suffer annually from anxiety disorders and have to be treated for their anxiety disorders. We are afraid of cancer. We're afraid of losing our job. We're afraid our marriages will fail. We're afraid of a situation with children that they will go awry. And all of the fears and the phobias that we have in this life. But Jesus actually says in this marvelous passage, let not your heart be troubled. And in the Greek, it is actually stop letting your heart be troubled. He wouldn't have said this if they didn't have troubled hearts. And I believe that you and I can have troubled hearts, but there's a cure for these troubled hearts. And tonight I want to share them with you. There are three things that will share that will cure your troubled heart. Write them down if you're taking notes. Number one, it's believing in a person. Notice it in verse one. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe what? Also in me. You already believe in God. Just as you do believe in God, you have faith in God. Jesus now directs their focus to trust Him and to put their faith in Him. Jesus is saying, the same way that you trust God, trust me also. So why should they trust Jesus? Well, because of who He is and what He has done. You know, Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? The Bible tells us there's one God, but that one God is triune. He's three by persons. He's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We call it the Trinity or the triunity of God. So God is both one and three. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we trust Jesus because He is God. In John 1:1, great Christmas verse, by the way, it goes back to eternity past for Christmas, says, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was with God, the Word was with God face to face, and the Word was God. So the Word that's a reference to Jesus is eternal in the beginning. It's personal. He was with God, and it is divine. He is God. So why would Jesus say, trust me as you trust God? Simply because Jesus is divine. But He's also human. He's also a man He's a God who took on humanity, John 1:14. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you jump down in John 1 to verse 14, where it says, and the Word became what? Flesh. And pitched His tent, literally, or tabernacled among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. So He's the eternal divine Word, and He's the incarnate Word. We have His deity and His humanity. Jesus is to be trusted. Jesus is to be believed in. Jesus is the one you put your faith in for salvation, because Jesus is divine, and Jesus, born of a virgin, took on full humanity. So he's both God and man in one person. Thus, he's able to save us from our sin. But not only do we trust Jesus because of who he is, but we trust Jesus also because of what he's done. What did Jesus do? Well, he fed the multitude. He walked on water. He gave sight to the blind. He cleansed the leper. He calmed the stormy seas. He even raised the dead. Lazarus died, and he stood at the grave of Lazarus, right? And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." I always thought it was cool that he specified Lazarus. Had he said, "Come forth," the whole grave cemetery would have emptied. Every dead person would have come out of the grave because of the power of his word. But he said, "Lazarus, we'll get the rest of you later. Just Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth from the grave. He has a power over life and death. The Bible also tells us that he died on the cross for our sins. John 3:16, which is the whole Bible in one verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever," what? "Believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life." That's the gift of Christmas. Someone said God wrapped his love in flesh and blood and sent it down to man. And whoever believes in him, as Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me. Put your faith in me, put your trust in me, will never perish but have everlasting life." There's nothing more important for you than to put your faith and your trust and your hope in Jesus Christ. J.C. Ryle said, "Faith in the Lord Jesus is the only sure medicine for troubled hearts. To believe more thoroughly, trust more entirely, rest more unreservedly, lay hold more firmly, and lean back more completely." I love that. So if you're troubled tonight, the cure for your troubled heart is to trust in Jesus and believe on him. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Why? "Because he trusteth in thee." So if you cast your cares upon him because he cares for you, he will take all of your burdens, all of your worries, all of your cares. So number one, believe in a person. But the second cure for a troubled heart tonight is to believe in a place. And Jesus offers an assurance. Notice that in verse 2 of John 14, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, what is the place we are to believe in? It is called by Jesus, "My Father's house." What is my Father's house? The answer is heaven. Heaven is what Jesus is referring to here as my Father's house. How do we know that heaven is our Father's house? Remember when Jesus taught us what we call the Lord's Prayer? How did it begin? "Our Father, which art in" what? That's where he is. So my Father's house is in heaven. "Our Father, which art in heaven." What a marvelous prospect that is, that we who believe in Jesus and trust in Jesus have a place being prepared for us. It's called our Father's house. Number one, heaven is a real place. It's not a figment of your imagination. It's not an invention of preachers. It's a real place. Jesus said, "I'm going to a place I'm preparing for you." It's a land where there'll be no more tears and no more sorrow and no more sickness and no more sin. There'll be no more death, no more crying, for God will wipe away all our tears and the former things will pass away. And one of the coolest things about heaven, no more devil, by the way. Satan won't be in heaven, and it'll be an awesome place. There'll be no sin or darkness or sickness. Heaven is also not only a real place, it's a prepared place. Jesus is building it, preparing it, equipping it for us. You know, you look at this beautiful world that we live in. He did it all in 6 days. He could have done it in one statement. 6 days he made the heavens and the earth, and then he rested. And he's had almost 2,000 years to get our crib ready for us. What a place that's going to be. And it's going to be the color you like and the way you like and the things you like. He knows you and he's preparing it for you. Not only is it a place, it's a real place, it's a prepared place, and heaven is for you. I love it. Verse 2, he said, I'm going to prepare for you a place. And he has you in mind in the preparation of that place. And heaven, by the way, has room for everyone. When the King James says many mansions, by the way, and I emphasize mansions. I saw one translation once that said apartments. I said, no, thank you. My father's house are many apartments. Oh, I can't wait. In my father's house are mansions. He's built them for us, which has the idea that there's room for everyone. Anyone tonight who wants to go to heaven can go to heaven. How do you go to heaven? By trusting Jesus Christ, amen? By putting your faith in Him, by believing in Him, by receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. And then this promise will be for you that Jesus is preparing for you a place in heaven. And one day we will die. And when we die, we either go to heaven or we do go to hell. There's only two destinations after death. The Bible says it's appointed unto everyone once to die, and after this, the judgment. When you die, you either go to heaven because you've believed in and trusted in and received Jesus Christ, or you will be separated from God for all of eternity. The Bible says that there's a broad path that leads to destruction, and many there be that go down that broad path. But there's also a narrow path that leads to life, to a narrow gate, and few there be that find it. And if you tonight want to go to heaven, and you trust in Jesus Christ, He will take you there. You say, how do I get there? Well, Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, the same gospel. He said, Nicodemus, you're religious and you're a devoted man, but you must be born again to get into the kingdom of God. Unless you are born of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you have to be born of the Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ, by believing in Him. It's not just going to church. It's not just being baptized. It's not just being a good person. It's not just going to church at Christmas time or taking communion or being confirmed. Christianity is Christ. And Christianity is Christ in the heart. Amen. It's the life of God and the soul of man. So it's not just outward form or religion. It's a relationship with God, which comes through being born of the Holy Spirit. So we believe in a person, Jesus, and we believe in a place that we call heaven. But there's a third and last thing that we need to cure our troubled hearts, and Jesus gives it to us in verse 3. Jesus said, if I go, verse 3, to prepare a place for you, here it is, I will what? Come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a blessed promise that is. You know, I looked up the word promise in the dictionary. It means a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. Jesus Christ made a promise. And the promise that He made was, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, because where I am, there you will be also. When Jesus prayed in John 17, his great high priestly prayer, he said, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me, that they may behold my glory, the glory I had with you before the world ever existed. So Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to take us home to be with him, whether it be by what we call the rapture of the church, we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, or whether it might be by death. You know, if you're a believer and you die, guess what happens to you? You go immediately, instantly into the presence of the Lord in heaven for all eternity. Amen? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So the moment a believer dies, he goes immediately to be in the presence of the Lord. And that's a blessed, blessed hope. Titus 2, verse 13 says, we're looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when the Lord comes in the rapture, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Their bodies are going to be quickened and resurrected, reunited with their soul and spirit, new glorified body in heaven. But we who are alive and remain shall be caught up will be raptured. Harpazo in the Greek will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we forever be with the Lord. Now, only those who are in Christ will go up in the rapture. Only those who are in Christ, through faith in Christ, will be in heaven for all eternity. So important for you to understand that. Because that's the question, how do I get to heaven? If Jesus is going to prepare us a place, and heaven is a place, it's a real place, it's a prepared place, and he's promised to come again and receive us unto himself, what do I need to do to get to heaven? Well, I want you to look at your Bible again. The answer is in verses 4 to 6. Jesus said, where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. And then Thomas, oh, I love Thomas. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Thomas was like that person in school that would always raise his hand and say, I don't understand. Now, I didn't understand, but I didn't have the guts to raise my hand and say I didn't understand. But Thomas didn't care. He just said, excuse me, Jesus, I got a question. Yes, Thomas. Number one, we don't know where you're going. Number two, we don't know how to get there. And I'm so glad, though, that Thomas asked this question, aren't you? Because here's the Lord's response in verse 6. Jesus is telling us how to get to heaven. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now you say, well, that's pretty narrow, isn't it? Yeah, but it's true. It's true. It may be narrow, and it is, but it's true. And Jesus is telling us, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. How can I be saved? Jesus is the way. How can I be sure? Jesus is the truth. How can I be satisfied? Jesus is the life. Someone said, he's the way, without him there's no going. He's the truth, without him there's no knowing. He's the life, without him there's no living. If you're lost, Jesus is the way. If you're ignorant, Jesus is the truth. If you're spiritually dead, Jesus is the life. Jesus came to reconcile us back to God. You know what really Christmas is all about? Christmas is all about God reaching down in his love to us and seeking to bring us back to himself. God with us, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. And he came and he died on the cross and he was buried and rose from the dead so that he can take us to heaven and forgive our sins. So he reconciles us. He's the way. He illuminates us. He's the truth. And he regenerates us. He gives us life. And only Jesus Christ can take you to the Father's house. No man, he says, verse 6, comes to the Father except by me. So he said, I'm the way, not a way. There are not many roads to God. There's only one path, and that's Jesus Christ. I am the truth. There are not many truths. There's only one truth, and that is in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm the life of God, and there's only one way to have the life of God in your soul. And if you don't have that life of God in your soul, then you're not really saved. And if you die, you'll be lost. And you must trust Jesus Christ tonight. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to ask Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive your sins and to give you the hope of heaven. There's no reason for anyone to leave tonight this service without knowing that if you died, you'd go to heaven, without knowing that your sins have been forgiven, without knowing that you are a child of God, without knowing that you have eternal life and that you'll spend eternity with God in heaven. Jesus died for our sins upon the cross. When Jesus died on that cross, that was God's Christmas tree. He died on the cross and took our sins. Your sin, my sin, was placed on the Son of God on the cross. And we must, number one, realize that we are sinners and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Then we must repent or turn from our sin and believe and trust in and receive Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we must receive, believe, or trust in Jesus Christ tonight. The Bible says, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's none of us that can be good enough to get to heaven. But Jesus came from heaven and died on the cross, was buried and rose again so that he could take us there. He was born of men so that we could be born of God. He died so that we might live. And if you're here tonight and there's any question or any doubt in your mind at all about whether you're right with God, whether or not you've truly been born again, tonight's the night. The Bible says now is the acceptance time. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. So I want to give you this opportunity. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, if you haven't received Him as your Lord and Savior, don't run from Him, don't resist Him, don't harden your heart. Tonight, surrender your life to Jesus Christ. I want every head bowed and every eye closed and every Christian praying. This is a holy moment.